across Northern Ireland, on your radio, and on BBC Sounds. This is The Stephen Nolan
Show! Well, traffic, it affects everything, doesn't it? It affects how we see our families, it affects how we do our jobs, it affects how we enjoy our lives in this place we live in Northern Ireland. And that's why it's another 90-minute special today, after the minister got on his feet yesterday and told us we've got to get into buses and trains and use public transport. We've got to start thinking about not using the car. But how reliable is public transport when they tell us that, oh, just get on the bus and we will travel in bliss? I've got reams and reams of travel disruption, cancellations, where they're actually cancelling it after it's supposed to go, and they call that bliss. All coming up. Deep breaths on the Nolan Show this morning. The Stephen Nolan Show! What are they doing to us when we're getting this confused messaging about public transport? And it absolutely is confused. They're telling us we can rely on it. And meanwhile, there are so many of you contacting me, telling me that you can't rely on the buses and the trains. So this morning, the Nolan Show talks real. We talk real straight into that heart of power in Stormont. We bring the reality of the people who they are asking to actually abandon their car. The reality, not what they're telling us, the reality of what you are experiencing. Because John O'Dowd, the infrastructure minister, had a stark message for all of us finding ourselves in the traffic chaos that is occurring in Belfast city centre at the moment. More bus services were diverted again during rush hour yesterday as John O'Dowd was on his feet in the Assembly telling us all, if we can, get out of your car. If we can, get onto a bus. If we can, get onto a train.
Belfast is over-congested. There's nowhere else to build roads, and we shouldn't build more roads in the city centre or clear more roads. You'll only create more traffic. Use public transport where you can.
Use public transport where you can. And if you look at the public messaging that TransLink are pushing onto you, here's what they're telling you.
Go by bus, train or glider and embrace the bliss of a hassle-free commute with TransLink.
So what we did was, on the very day that the minister was on his feet, yesterday, let's look at the reality on the ground. How galling must it be to those members of the public who are late for work on a regular basis because of regular failure of services? So let's look, John O'Dowd, at the very day yesterday you were telling us to use public transport. The 652 service from Carriduff to Belfast, due to leave at 20 past 8. TransLink announced the service was cancelled at 8:40. 20 minutes after it was supposed to leave. What do all those people do that are relying on your public transport network, Minister? Do they just get sacked? The Chief Executive of TransLink, it's interesting that you're not available, Mr. Conway. Where are you? The 103 from 9:35 Lisburn, due to leave at 25 to 10. Announcements that the service was cancelled 11 minutes after it was supposed to leave. So if you trusted public transport yesterday with that service in Lisburn, you were screwed. What about you do what John O'Dowd tells you to do if you're going to our international airport? Maybe you've saved up all year for a holiday. Maybe you're going on a business trip. So you think to yourself, I'll do what he's asking us to do. I'll abandon the car. I'll take the bus. Well, tell you what, you would have been in trouble yesterday. The 6:30 a.m. cancelled. The 7:18 cancelled. The 8:30 cancelled. The 8:06 cancelled. The 9:18 cancelled. The 2:00 cancelled. By the way, if you were on that 8:06 yesterday, trying to get to the airport for the holiday of a lifetime, important business meeting, whatever, they told you 8 minutes before it was cancelled. Is this the public transport network you're telling us to use, Minister? Maybe you've been abroad, you're coming back from the airport, you've done what they've told you to do, you haven't got your car. The 710 cancelled, the 758 cancelled, the 851 cancelled, the 915 cancelled, the 1003 cancelled, the 1455 cancelled, and the 1535 cancelled. Apparently there was a car accident on the road, and one bus damaged in the storm. Now we're hearing from sources that they don't have the infrastructure. They don't have enough buses if one goes down. Belfast Grand Central, the shiny new station to put it down. The 1210, cancelled. 22 minutes notice. Another service to the hospital yesterday. Maybe you were going and your relative is dying. 2 hours notice, an announcement, cancelled. And that was just yesterday. And then we start to look through other days and you see a pattern of services cancelled, significant delays. And they know it. And yet here's what they're telling you.
Go by bus, train or glider and embrace the bliss of a hassle-free commute with TransLink.
Do they think we are stupid? Now, if we are to abandon our car and get onto public transport, then this is about trust. This is about you telling us it as it really is. So if you want us to partner up, what's the likelihood here if we do it right now? Or we do it in January, February, March? What's the likelihood that we'll be able to trust the buses and the trains? 03030 80 55 55. You can help paint the picture this morning. You can help do it with us this morning. Because it's a big thing to abandon the car, isn't it? And then we have this mind-boggling situation where the minister, John O'Dowd, who is a key employer himself, he's got a whole department. How many hundreds of people work for the Department of Infrastructure? So Minister O'Dowd is telling us, look, abandon the car. Does he go to work on a bus? Let's look at his employees. He's telling us of how advantageous it would be if we worked from home at least one day a week. So has he implemented this strategy throughout his whole department? He's talked about staggering work times. Do all employees in the Department of Infrastructure have the ability to stagger their work times? DP's Philip Brett with us this morning. Good morning to you, Philip.
Good morning, Stephen.
Like, the working people of this country are utterly frustrated. And they look at Stormont. We were promised so much. And we're now being told this is how it is.
I think yesterday's comments from the department around the working from home has managed to exacerbate and make a bad situation even worse. We have our city centre who are crippled at the minute, being told by government departments that they can simply work from home. We're told healthcare workers who are stuck in traffic that they should consider working from home. And we're told that skilled children who are unable to get to school at the minute should work from home.
So well, that's not fair, because I watched every second of what John O'Dowd said yesterday. He actually specifically spoke, Philip, about healthcare workers not being able to work from home, and he acknowledged that. So that's not true what you said.
Well, I didn't say the minister said that. I said that was the message that came from officials yesterday,
Stephen. That official gave 15 minutes to this programme yesterday, and he didn't say about healthcare workers working from home.
He said people should consider working from home.
And you know what he meant.
And that's not the situation. That what we need to see is a situation, Stephen, where resolutions and solutions are put in place, and that's why Gabby raised yesterday, the current road closures that are in place, they should be reviewed. That's why yesterday we said that if we're going to tell people to get public transport, that services need to be reliable and on time. And if there needs to be extra capacity put into the system, then we need to do that as a matter of urgency. And we need to give clear messaging to the public. We shouldn't send people onto social media to see that services are running well, only for those standing at bus stops or train halts to find out 10 minutes after their train is due to arrive that it's been cancelled. So we need a clear, holistic approach from the Minister, both in terms of short-term actions and longer-term investments.
So what do we do? Are you as a party saying that people shouldn't work, if they can, one day a week from home, as was suggested, if people can?
What I'm saying is that's not a choice that the vast majority of people in Belfast have the opportunity to avail of, Stephen. Businesses in the heart of Belfast need the support that they, at the minute and the run-up to Christmas, they don't have the choice to be able to work from home. Civil servants who should be planning and looking at some of the operational issues that are currently facing don't have the ability to work from home. And as we've already covered earlier, healthcare workers and educational providers don't have the opportunity to work from home. So I think suggesting that people working from home is the easy answer to a very difficult question, which the minister should be focusing on.
But what I'm trying to encourage this morning, Philip, is just a conversation around is there any coherent, united message from Stormont that's possible? So for those people who can work from home, not the people who can't, for those people who can work from home one day a week, and the officials are telling us, look, it would help. Would the DUP support that?
I think the vast majority of people who have, since the pandemic, have been working from home continue to do so. So I don't see that, Stephen, having any major impact on the issues that people are currently facing. There is a clear crisis in terms of getting in and out of Belfast city centre at the moment. And simply saying that the solution to that is some people working from home, I don't think flies with the vast majority of people who are currently stuck in traffic.
And of course, it wasn't the sole ask, was it? They were coming up, and I think it was Mr. Woods that was on with me yesterday, if I remember. Colin Woods was his name, senior official, and he came on and he spoke to us and he spent time with us, and he didn't just say about working from home. He also talked about a whole range of mitigations, including us using buses and trains. Do you think our network is reliable enough that people can do that, Philip?
Well, I think you just spent the first 5 minutes of your show, Stephen, reading just in one day the amount of services that were cancelled or postponed. So I think it's clearly evident that our current network and capacity within the system is not reliable, and it's not working on time. I this morning took calls from parents whose children's school bus has been cancelled once again. Business people who I was due to meet this morning was unable to meet me this morning because the traffic they were stuck in. So, you know, it's clearly not reliable. There needs to be clear leadership, both in terms of Translink and the Minister on this. It was very useful to have a senior official from the department yesterday on your show. I would have preferred that had that been the Minister. The Minister came along and answered an urgent question in the Assembly yesterday. But his simple solution to this was that people should expect delays and should expect traffic. I want to see different solutions and actions put in place, and that's why we put forward a number of suggestions in terms of reviewing the current closures in the city centre that are in place.
What they're telling us about that new grand central station in Belfast, this now much talked about, you can't turn left onto the Grosvenor Road.
Yeah, from Great Victoria Street.
Great Victoria Street. They're telling us that's because the way the centre is designed, lots of pedestrians will come out onto a footpath where they're worried that the amount of pedestrians will spill onto the road. So has anybody asked why was it designed like that?
Well, that wasn't the answer that was given directly to by the Minister in the Assembly yesterday. That very issue was raised by us, and the Minister just simply told members that was under review. But given the all major projects have some design flaws, but particularly when it comes to DFI, I wouldn't be surprised. We have the new York Street station in my constituency in North Belfast, which is meant to be the service point for students at the Ulster University. But for students to get to the university, have to walk across six lanes of the West Link to get there. So there just is, there seems to be a complete lack of joined up approach when it comes to opening of new infrastructure projects and how we access them.
I'm not suggesting it, and I don't think you should either, that it's a design flaw. But surely they must have known, or they could have projected, how much disruption it would make if you can't turn left at that junction. And now they're reviewing it. So reviewing it to what end? Reviewing it to do what? How quickly are they going to review it?
The Minister gave a commitment to us yesterday in the Chamber that that was being reviewed. We followed that up with a number of questions directly to the Department to try and get to the crux of this, because the lack of being able to do that left-hand turn lane has been a major cause of some of the traffic issues that are currently being exacerbated in the city centre.
And who gave permission, Philip? Because the premise here is the motorist must now get out of the car. And Stormont is supposed to be representing the views and the thoughts of all of us. At what point did we give permission? I know there's a strong argument for it. But at what point did we, the population of Northern Ireland, give permission for the motorist to be pushed down the pecking order? Does that matter?
Listen, private cars are the way in which the vast majority of people travel to work. It's a requirement for a lot of our workforce to be able to have that mobile transport. So from my perspective, motorists shouldn't and won't be pushed down the pecking order. There's been decisions made by the department or messaging sent out, which we as a party and others have clearly challenged.
And the department is very strongly saying back, look, you can't build any more road. We can't create space from nowhere. So if we don't get out of our car, this problem will get worse. So does that require major parties like yourselves, Philip, to dedicate more and more investment into the Department of Infrastructure? We've been told by sources this morning, Translink are having significant problems with stock in terms of spare buses. And they might pump out these messages of bliss, and the chief executive, his diary might be so full that he can't talk to media at the moment, but it's not going to remove the questions. How stretched is Translink? How much can we trust them? And that chief executive surely at some stage is going to have to be upfront with the public as to what his network can and can't cope with.
Translink's a vital public service that's provided across Northern Ireland. It's something that we as a party have supported and invested in. But ultimately, their budget is dictated and decided mostly by the Department for Infrastructure and then income that they generate themselves. But they also have funding awarded that hasn't been spent to date. We have £45 million currently sitting in the department earmarked for the rollout of BRT2, so Belfast Rapid Transit, which would connect North Belfast to South Belfast. The Minister has had the business case on his desk for months now in terms of finding where the termination point at the north of the city is going to be. We have the York Street interchange funding that was secured for that project in 2017. £30 million spent by our department to date, but not a single sod cut for that project. So there is funding there, Stephen, but the department just now needs to get on and use it and deliver these projects, both in terms of public transport and for private vehicles, which would make a big, big difference to the traffic congestion in the city centre.
Philip, thank you so much for coming on, spending time with us this morning. 03030805555. When I was announcing the cancellations after your standing on platforms, after your standing at bus stops, and that message, which just simply is not true from Translink, that you're travelling in bliss, take the hassle out of travelling. It is not true at the moment. It's true in some circumstances. But how much of a wind-up is it that you hear them pumping out that ad and you know that on the same Translink Twitter feed They're telling you about disruptions. They're telling you about services being cancelled after you're supposed to have left. That snapshot that I gave you from just yesterday, you can look through other days too. 29th of November, 3:06. The Metro Glider services are currently subject to possible disruption. Metro services delayed up to 1 hour and 13 minutes. Glider services up to 18 minutes due to traffic congestion. And meanwhile, they feed you this.
Go by bus, train or glider and embrace the bliss of a hassle-free commute with TransLink.
Like, did anybody in the TransLink marketing department, did anybody, the chief executive, Mr. Conway, did you think to yourself, can we really put that out? Can we stand over that there's not going to be significant disruption, given the Boyne Bridge is going and it's kaput now, isn't it, in terms of what we can drive past that? And the Sydenham bypass, was there no one within TransLink questioned the validity of that ad going out? Yesterday, if you were trying to get to the Ulster Hospital, the 1405 from Bangor, the 1435 from the Ulster Hospital will not operate. At least you got 2 hours' notice about that. I guess if you were going to visit the person you love, well, that's you screwed if you're relying on that service, isn't it? Back to the 29th of November. Metro 7, 8 and 9 will terminate at Bruce Street and operate outwards from Dublin Road because of heavy traffic. Henry and Dramara. Good morning, Henry.
Hello.
Go ahead, good Henry.
Morning. Yeah. I was going up to the eye clinic there on the north side of Belfast and had to wait an hour in the new station. No fault to the new station, but it was bucketing and raining, so I was stay here. But we had to go out and face the music. And the way up, we done all right. We got the job done, come back again, and then into the new station again to get out to Lisburn Road, and we got the bus for Lisburn. But it was only a quarter full. And up the west link, it's jam-packed. I must have waited a half an hour here and there and a half an hour there. And it took us, I don't know, maybe an hour and a half to get to Lisburn. Disgrace. And the boys was coming. They were driving up the slipway on the west link there. I think we're going to Stockman's Lane or Lisburn Road. And they're coming back on the other way thick. And they're even ramming the buses to get into the line. It's a disgrace.
So what do you think what do you think needs done?
Well, John O'Dowd is right. If they took the bus, there'd be a lot less people. I mean coming, no, but through there maybe there's nobody going that road. But even the other side going into Belfast, they're queuing up.
Henry, thank you. TransLink yesterday, they sent you a Christmas ad. Avoid traffic this Christmas with TransLink Park and Ride. Park for free and enjoy stress-free shopping and joyful gatherings. Do you think we're stupid? Do you think, TransLink, we are going to swallow? Avoid traffic this Christmas if we park and ride. Your buses are stuck in the same chaos. You're cancelling services after they're supposed to leave. And you're trying to tell us it will be stress-free? Who's putting these ads together? Who's pumping them out at the same time as you're announcing disruptions and delays? Davy and Temple Patrick. Morning, Davy.
Morning, Stephen. How are you doing?
Go ahead, sir.
Wait
there 1 second for me. We'll get the news. We'll come straight back to you. Davy, go ahead, sir. Thanks for calling.
No problem, Stephen. I can't understand. A couple of points. The TransLink bus goes past my house, Temple Patrick.
Can you come closer? We'll try to get the sound fixed. Adrian Mahalin.
Hang on.
Okay, go ahead, Davey. We'll give you another chance. Go ahead, sir.
Can you hear me better now?
I certainly can. Go ahead.
Right. I can't understand why TransLink, if they want you to use the buses all the time, for me to travel to the international airport from my house in Templepatrick, which is about 4 miles, it's actually more expensive for me to go to the airport than it is for me to get the same bus into Belfast. Not that I would go to Belfast on it anyway. Outside the main hotel in Templepatrick, the Rabbit Hotel, beautiful place. They've now made the bus stop set down only. So if you want to get a bus from, if you stay in the hotel, you want to get a bus to the airport, you have to walk either across busy roads to the park and ride and across roundabouts where there's no pass, or you have to walk down in towards Templepatrick half a mile to get a bus because it's set down only at the Rabbit Hotel now. And another point, the storm there the other night, now I'm not sure the circumstances of the accident or what caused it, but why would you put a double-decker bus on 70 to 80 mile an hour winds on exposed roads? Like, have they no sense at all?
Well, we don't seem to be able to interact with a human being at TransLink in terms of getting them on the radio programmes to speak to you.
It's a disgrace. I mean, how do they justify that? It's actually cheaper for me to get a taxi from my house to the airport than it is for me and my partner to travel in a bus.
Would you trust public transport at the moment?
No, definitely not, no. I actually went into Belfast to take my partner. She wanted to go to Christmas Market. And I got as far as the Devon Street turnoff. And it was queued back onto the West Link. And they were talking 30 to 35 minute delays to get round to the Christmas Market in a car. So I actually went up the slip road, dropped her off, turned around, came back onto the West Link and went home.
Why?
Because you can't get near it. There's no point trying to get into Belfast. It's a disgrace. It used to be there, I'd have come off at the one there down Davis Street, cut across, over Sandy Row Bridge, and down into Belfast that way to avoid a bit of traffic. But now that's closed, you can't go that way.
Is this the you can't turn left way?
Yeah, you can't. You know, I used to come down and go over the Boyne Bridge, turn left, once you're over the Boyne Bridge, turn left, down the side of the hotel, and turn left along Great Victoria Street, isn't it? And dropped her off there somewhere. You can't do that now. So I just would give up and come home. Why go to Belfast? It's a mess. But we'd rather go to Ballymena or Abbey Centre.
Well, the minister's telling you, unless you're prepared to use public transport, expect congestion. Get used to it.
Does he get a bus?
What?
Does he get a bus or does he go in by car?
We've asked.
Or is he chauffeur-driven in by car?
Well, we've asked. I can't wait to hear the answer.
He's probably too embarrassed to tell you.
I can't wait to hear the answer about how many Stormont officials are now leading by example, permanent secretaries, every single one of them. How many of them are getting the bus into work to lead by example?
Yeah. Well, you can't.
How many ministers? How many MLAs?
Yeah. Realistically, you can't get a bus into work because it would take you too long. You need to leave the house at 5 a.m.
Look at this the other way, though, Davey. If we've got an expanding kind of vehicle population, if we've got an expanding population, and if we don't do what the authorities are asking us to do, there's no magic wand here. That's what O'Dowd's saying. He can't magic a solution to this out of nowhere.
Well, obviously you can't, but why close main arteries come up to Christmas where businesses are getting affected? You know, I mean, that was a handy road to use. And now it's just closed. You can't use it.
Well, they're telling you they've closed that road because all these passengers coming out of that new station are standing at the side. I'm double checking in my wee tiny brain here that I'm getting this right. And I know I am. So what they're telling you is that they've realised that passengers coming out of that new, how many hundreds of millions did it cost to build station? They're spilling onto a bit of the footpath where it's dangerous because there's so many of them coming out that they would end up on that road that you're talking about, the Grosvenor Road.
Well, obviously whoever designed it hasn't thought it through very well.
No, you can't say that. You cannot say that. Whoever's designed it will have absolutely flagged that up. So what did the authorities do? They said, all right, we'll close the turn left. All right, we'll close it.
Yeah, and then
at the same time as they know what's happening to the Boyne Bridge, at the same time, and then they're blaming you, the motorist. It's nothing to do with them. It's nothing to do with John O'Dowd's decisions.
Here, when you pay the amount of insurance you pay and tax you pay in a car, you expect to be able to drive around the roads, even though they're a mess as well.
Tibby, thank you. SDLP Councillor Carl White with us today. Morning to you, Carl.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Carl, I just want to, well, first of all, let's get your thoughts.
Well, we've listened to a 40-minute snapshot, of what has been days, weeks and months of congestion misery for the people of Belfast. I think that it's pretty surprising and very disappointing that there's no one else from TransLink on your show. I think they need to be explaining at the senior level what they're doing. And to be fair to the bus drivers and the bus inspectors, Stephen, working in Belfast City Centre, they are doing their best to try to move stops and make this situation better. TransLink, in a way, are the solution to the problem, which is DFI. And I think while John O'Dowd not coming on your show to discuss Sinn Féin matters might be acceptable, not coming on the show to discuss ministerial matters seems a stretch given the crisis that is engulfing the city. And what's even worse, I think, was that the answers that he gave yesterday in the Assembly simply repeated the lines that his officials gave on your show yesterday. So John O'Dowd is clearly completely listening and not showing leadership himself, but instead is doing the bidding of the people that run the roads. And when you think about it, Stephen, there are four ways you can get into a city centre. You can cycle. DFI have cut the funding for cycle lanes in Belfast. You can walk, which in many cases is not possible. You can use public transport, which is now engulfed in a crisis. And remember, Stephen, when we didn't have a DFI minister, and we had the pre-marked fire, TransLink lowered their fares to try and encourage people back into town. We now have a DFI minister. We have Stormont. We have the executive. And we don't even have a simple measure like that. And then finally, the
John O'Dowd addressed that yesterday too. We're going to be as fair to that minister as we can be. And he said it's about money. He doesn't have all this spare money to subsidise fares.
Well, Stephen, you're talking about, and I was asked this in the BBC last week, you're talking about 100,000, 200,000 possibly to reduce fares between now and Christmas. The capital budget for DFI is 800 million. So if I walk up to somebody who earns £80,000 and I say, listen, can you give me 25 quid, which is about the same if you multiply that down, they can afford it. These are very small amounts of money for a very short period of time, which could be found to improve this situation. But the other way, of course, you get into the city centre is via road. And DFI have been building roads and they have money to build roads. You go on their famous Twitter account, since August now they've spent between 10 and 15 million on roads improvements. Some of those are needed. But to say there's no money to give people of Belfast and surrounding areas a few quid off a bus ticket or a rail ticket in their run up to Christmas, it just isn't true. We're at the point now where this is, it's at the tipping point. The call to work from home, I text messages from people in my area last night, they work in shops. If only they could, they were just laughing at it. If only I could work from home. And it's a solution that just isn't viable for many people.
Well, again, let's be fair to that official. He said it on the Nolan programme yesterday. He was talking about people who can work from home.
Absolutely, yeah.
And he wasn't saying that was the full solution. He spent 50 minutes with me and he was going through a whole range of mitigations that he's trying to put in place, that they are reviewing some of their decisions. He's open-minded to it. And he said, look, use public transport one day a week, working from home one day a week. So we shouldn't position that official as he just said working from home and that's it. He did not. He had the backing of his minister because John O'Dowd repeated it in the chamber yesterday.
Yeah, he did. But that's it, Stephen. Are you really telling me that, and it's the position of the Department for Infrastructure, which it seems to be, that the worst traffic congestion in living memory that anybody remembers, and that is the case, that the solution is actually those workers who are generally office-based, who can work from home for an extra day, should do so. And what does that say to city centre shops and businesses and the workers in those shops and businesses that need to see a brisk trade between now and Christmas?
But Carl, look, again, what you're raising is legitimate. So if more and more of us work from home if we can, what impact does it have on the economy, essentially, in Belfast City Centre and elsewhere If we all work from home, it applies more, it affects more than just Belfast. But can Stormont not come up with statistical data around that for us? Can we have a conversation where we actually understand the yin and the yang between, okay, look, if we work from home one day a week, if we can, it'll free up traffic for shoppers who do want to go in to our hotspots, against how much would be lost to the economy. Where's the data from Stormont to support all of this?
I don't think there is any data. I think they come up with this idea because it doesn't cost them anything. And it's also easy to blame. It's easy to blame drivers and road users for congestion. It's almost like, Stephen, if you go to your friend's house and you get food poisoning, you're sick, and they say, hey, well, you know what? You needed to lose weight anyway. Now, that's how I feel listening to this, that it's my fault. This congestion's my fault. And it's not our fault. This is years of DfI inaction around cycling, walking, neglect of public transport investment, and you've highlighted the problem that TransLink have with replacing buses, and an overfocus on roads. We've also got very weak regulations around utilities digging up roads. This all started in August. End of August, there was a plethora of utility works before the school return. Then we had the closure of Sydenham. Then we had Grand Central. Then we had the Great Victoria Street. So there's no planning here. There is no evidence. That evidence you're talking about doesn't exist, Stephen. What I would like is someone in DfI coordinating utilities, roadworks, and actually making calls day to day. Say, well, no, we can't do all of that at one time because it's going to clog up the roads. And now we're at the stage where they're just completely clogged. It's reputational damage for our city, and it really is. And actually buried in amongst this, there's a good news story in Grand Central. Train journeys are up. Ulster bus journeys are up. So there are some positive, believe it or not, stories here. But unfortunately, TransLink aren't coming out to tell anybody this, which they should.
Thank you very much, Carl. Good morning to you. The Chamber of Commerce, the suggestion of working from home one day a week for those of you who can was made on the Nolan Show yesterday morning by one of the chief roads guys from the Department of Infrastructure, Colin Woods. The Chamber of Commerce reacted on Evening Extra last night.
I think it's pretty shocking, to be honest with you. We've been really trying to encourage people to, you know, desist from working from home, to come back into the office, to spend money in the shops, to support our local retailers and leisure and hospitality. And also actually, a lot of the businesses, a lot of our members, big businesses in the city, they have been encouraging their staff through lots of different incentivization programs to come back into the office since COVID to build that back up again for all the right reasons, for the city economy and for our vibrancy and everything else. And I don't think it was particularly welcome to hear that suggestion.
And that's Claire Guinness speaking to Declan last night, Declan Harvey. So Chamber of Commerce, Claire Guinness, Chief Exec, the Chair of the Chamber of Commerce. So what level of engagement have the Chamber of Commerce had with Minister O'Dowd?
Well, funny enough, we only heard actually this morning. We'll have a meeting in the Derry with him. So we saw all this coming very, very earlier than normal. It was in October.
We were talking about it on this programme in October, yeah.
Yeah. And Gavin, the President of the Chamber, he reached out to the Minister and issued a press release about there needing some urgent interventions to make sure that it doesn't alleviate the problems that we could all see that were coming to us. And we have a meeting now with the Minister, and it's at the end of January.
So,
and you contacted in October?
Yeah.
About 8 weeks ago you asked for a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Today you've heard there's a meeting, and it's not for another month, 6 weeks.
The end of January, yeah.
End of January, another 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So obviously Richard and Declan speaking to Claire Guinness in Evening Extra last night. So let me get this right, Minister O'Dowd. The Chamber of Commerce are saying that businesses could go under here, that they're desperately trying to meet up with you. So let me get this right, Minister. You don't have a few minutes in your diary to meet them until January. So they're telling you traders could be in trouble this Christmas. They're telling you they've got ideas. And you as a Sinn Féin minister, you have no time until the end of January. Does that sound like reasonable to you, Minister? Some people might be thinking, who do you think you are, John O'Dowd? You don't have time to meet the Chamber of Commerce? to the businesses that are paying rates in Belfast city centre, to the traders, the people who, you know, some of those people, the small businesses that are being affected, their homes will be at risk if they go under this Christmas. And you as a Sinn Féin minister, you don't have the time to meet the Chamber of Commerce until the end of January. Couldn't squeeze in a meeting, no? 03030 80 55 55. I talk about businesses going under. Retail NI Chief Executive Glenn Roberts. Morning to you, Glenn.
Good morning, Stephen.
How serious is this situation?
Well, in one respect, you couldn't make this up if you tried. I mean, the one thing that maybe I want to start off with saying is a tribute to the hard work many city centre traders, all the work they've been doing, all their staff, to try and make this Christmas a really good experience, a fun, family-friendly experience and destination. And, you know, I was in town on Sunday talking to traders, and there was a real sense of frustration that not only could they not get their customers in, but they struggled to get some of their staff in who were using public transport. You know, we've asked to meet with the minister. We didn't get any response. That was a month and a half ago. I had a brief chat with him at another engagement. But I think where we need to go and where we need to focus now, what are the solutions? What are the short-term solutions? You know, how can we move away from the blame game, and how can we make these last few weeks of Christmas the best we can? And, you know, I'll be engaging later on this morning with senior officials from the Department of Infrastructure. I've already been talking to TransLink as well. So what we now need to focus on, what are the solutions? How can we salvage the situation the best we can? And more importantly, how can we learn lessons from this? And I think reflecting back at all, communication and coordination with traders has been woeful. It's been extremely poor. For instance, you have this oversight group that has now been set up. Business is not even represented on it.
Why not?
I have no idea. We haven't had any communication from the Department of Infrastructure for weeks now on this. So good communication, good coordination, it doesn't cost anything. And I think that is the nub of the problem. It's not just asking us to look at Twitter now and again. You know, so we need, we've had previous crises in the city centre, or, you know, the book has been pulled out. We've had emergency meetings. We've had round tables to try and say, look, right, how do we move this situation? How do we salvage this situation? I get no sense of urgency from the Department of Infrastructure that this problem has been taken seriously.
And so what consequences could that have on some of your members?
Well, as I've said, Christmas is the harvest time for the retail sector. It's the time of year where, you know, many of our members make a significant amount of income that sustains the business throughout the year. If they can't not only get their customers in, but they can't get their staff in, then there's a serious, serious problem here.
Are the staff not travelling in bliss on public transport?
Well, again, as your programme has highlighted, public transport, we've had delays, we've had cancellations, you know, and, you know, these are, you know, people who very much signed up to the need to support public transport, to make it their first option, not their last option. And we have a situation where cancellations, major delays, so public transport is unfortunately not an option for them.
TransLink pumped out an ad yesterday. Avoid traffic this Christmas with TransLink Park and Ride. Park for free and enjoy stress-free shopping and joyful gatherings.
Well, I think it's
how does that add up if you're telling me staff can't get into the city?
Yeah, well, all I would say is that it clearly doesn't add up. And you know what? We now need to focus on the last few weeks we have left in the Christmas trade. And how do we overcome these problems? What do we need to do? I think we need, I would urge the minister to call a round table of the relevant business organisations, Chamber of Commerce, TransLink, the police, all the city council, and let's try and work through this problem and try and salvage this situation as best we can. It has not been good that, you know, I've pointed out this many, many times. Belfast City Centre is not just another city centre. It's a regional economic driver for Northern Ireland PLC. And if it is struggling, then Northern Ireland PLC is struggling.
Well, if it is struggling, the clear message from the experts is help them by getting out of the car and getting on to public transport. I mentioned yesterday, and we've gone through, Glenn, thank you very much indeed, we've gone through some examples. And by the way, we're getting those examples from TransLink's Twitter feed. They're not hiding the disruption, but what they're doing is, at the same time that they're cancelling services, they're telling you that it's bliss. They're literally telling you it's bliss. That was yesterday. If we look, take another day, 21st of November. So the 1520 Ported Down service cancelled, and they told you about that 30 minutes after it was supposed to leave. Like, how do they expect us to react to this? You got a 10-minute warning on the 21st of November for the Belfast to Larne service. Due to leave at 10 past 5. Do what the minister tells you. Try to use that service. Abandon the car. Well, your kids will be sitting without any parents with them if your caring facilities were up until you were scheduled to get home. No babysitter. Lo and behold, you've got a second job you've got to go out to later on that night. 10-minute warning, 21st of November. A 5-minute warning for Belfast to Londonderry on the same day. TransLink simply announced with some service adjustments, we're not operating the X212 at 5:15. 5-minute warning. Some people might say to TransLink, and to you, Mr. Conway, the chief executive of TransLink, they might just say, are you sure you should be telling them they're currently travelling in bliss? Norman and Lauren. Morning, Norman.
Good morning, Mystic Peg here. Just a wee quick one here for you, Stephen. I'm sure you're surprised you haven't even looked at this one. This is a big plan. I tell you what it is, and I'm not for it. It's for congestion charges, and that's all it's about. Money, money, money. Why would anybody want to abandon their car? Anybody that has a car have worked hard for it. They're entitled to use that car. That's all it is. It's in congestion charges. Ask the minister. That's the plan.
What do you mean it's a congestion charge? What is?
They'll end up, that's because of the congestion we have in Belfast City Centre, they'll introduce congestion charges. Like any other major city in the UK.
Okay. Robert, the taxi driver. Morning, Robert.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, the infrastructure minister and the chief executive of TransLink a few months back there made all the media around them. The opening up of the new Grand Central Station, everything was going to be good. People were going to use more public transport. The reality to the minister and his officials, they're never going to get people out of their cars. Now, the main transport, this new Grand Central Station's costing £340 million. Really get into this, Stephen. They opened up a station that's not completed. There's no provisions for drop-offs or pick-up for taxis, as one example. The Boyan Bridge, check this out, there's people walking around the city centre, and not because I'm a taxi driver, or stopping taxi drivers and saying, how do you get to the Grand Central Station? What they're doing, if you follow what people are doing, people's walking all over the place in Great Victoria Street, Hard Street, walking up the Grosvenor Road, turning left into Durham Street to try to get into a new station, walking on up the Grosvenor Road facing the police station, double yellow lanes outside at the main entrance into the central station. They've made a blunder. They actually opened up that station. They shouldn't have opened up that station until it was completed. And they should get on the airways and apologise that they made a major mistake opening that station too soon. They have caused, and it's backfired on them. All the buses can't move through the city centre. Taxi drivers are getting frustrated. They're going home and they're making no money. And this is the busiest time of year. It's affecting the whole economy in the city centre. They've made a major blunder here, and they should be financing people for their mistakes.
Well, how you can say they've made a major blunder when others would argue they've made a major achievement building a 300-odd million-pound state-of-the-art new transport hub in the middle of our city that would be the envy of many. And you're describing that as a blunder.
Stephen, it's a white elephant. See, to be honest with you, that 340 million could have been spent far better and better places, like a health service, to be honest with you. They want me on the point here. And see the reality here. Wake up and smell the coffee. You're never going to get people out of their cars.
Well,
set it on your... You're never... Because people love their cars.
They might love their cars, but maybe they've got to get with the message that we just can't cope with everybody wanting to sit in their own personal car, that the roads are not big enough, our infrastructure can't cope with it. Many cities throughout the world, they know they can't cope with it either. And therefore, we've got to change our minds, change our ways, change our behaviours. But how do we do that and get to work on time? How do we do that if our buses can't cope with one bus is wrecked in a storm, and that means that something like 14 different services to the international airport are cancelled alone? How do we abandon our car if they're telling us we're travelling with them in bliss, when actually they leave us standing on platforms and tell us after the bus is supposed to go that, by the way, it's not going? And I would just ask Translink this morning to work with us, be clear with the public the extent of the problems that you do or do not have, because that will help inform the debate as to what type of investment you need. And I'll say it again, this is about trust. When we hear, Translink, that you don't have the time to talk to the public through radio programmes, when we hear that your chief executive suddenly his diary is so full that he can't talk to the public, who are utterly frustrated, then what are we expected to think? We're clearing the decks. There's so much reaction to this. It is the story on the Nolan Show this morning, and it will continue to be until we find a solution to the traffic chaos that there is in Belfast at the moment. Good morning. Look, we've got to have a mature conversation, don't we, with each other as to how we play our part in helping the Department of Infrastructure and helping Minister O'Dowd. They are saying that there is no magic solution to the traffic congestion. In fact, they're telling you to expect it now, that if you're going into Belfast in a car, expect it. They're also talking about Christmas and the Christmas period. But it's more than Christmas. They've completely blocked off a main route up the Grosvenor Road. So that's not about Christmas. That's about their decision to block off that route and the impact that has had on all of you. A decision they're now reviewing. Let's see how long it takes. Then the cycle lanes. This is about partnership between the Department of Infrastructure and all of you. So, to be fair to Colin Woods, one of the DFI officials, he's a very senior guy in charge of a lot of this. Mr. Woods spent the guts of an hour with me yesterday. So, therefore, the guts of an hour with you. And he took many different questions and he didn't hide from them. But in this partnership between Department of Infrastructure and you, Mr. Woods, for example, didn't have the data, he said, at hand about how many people are actually using our cycle lanes around Belfast. So we asked the department yesterday, 24 hours ago. Just silence back. Nothing. Nothing. Diddly squat. So far, you're not being told how many people use the cycling lanes that you see in front of you. Just remember when they're not telling you that this is your city. These are your roads. When they decide to reduce lanes of traffic for you, the motorist, you pay them. So you decide whether to buy into this or not. But when you're doing so, you've got to think of the environment. You've got to think that the roads aren't widening anymore. You've got to think that the minister's telling you that all the data is telling you, you will be stuck in traffic. And then this kind of, I described it yesterday. I asked yesterday if it was some type of wind up where Translink are trying to tell us we're travelling in bliss. You know, I keep on playing this. I keep on playing what they're literally pumping out in their ads. I'll let you hear it one more time.
Go by bus, train or glider and embrace the bliss of a hassle-free commute with TransLink.
It's just not true. And they know it at the moment. Wesley Johnson, roads expert. Good morning, Wesley.
Morning, Stephen.
I played you that ad. They pumped out then another ad. Avoid traffic this Christmas with park and ride. In fact, I think we've voiced this up too, have we?
Avoid traffic this Christmas with TransLink Park and Ride. Park for free and enjoy stress-free shopping and joyful gatherings.
Like, Wesley, do they think that we're all, I don't know, in some type of cave and we don't actually see what's going on?
Yeah, I think the problem here is we recognise as transport planners that public transport is the only solution to this problem in the city centre. However, I think the solution that we have at the minute is being over-egged. You know, it's not good enough to attract large numbers of people onto it that we need to make the difference. You know, we've talked about this before. You know, it needs to be punctual. It needs to be cheap. And there isn't any point in that if people feel they're paying too much, that it takes them longer than it would by car, you know, if they don't feel safe on it, that sort of thing. So, you know, I think the getting more people onto public transport is the solution, but I don't think it's fair to blame motorists for not doing that, because I think, you know, people can see themselves whether it's worth switching or not. And at the minute, the incentive just isn't, it needs to make sense for people. And at the minute, a lot of people are deciding it doesn't.
But have they just got to do it anyway for the greater good? Do we abandon our cars as much as we can?
I mean, I drive a car, I commute by car, and I want to keep doing that. The problem is so many other people do as well. And if we all do it, this is what happens. Now, you know, it's not even a matter of adding more lanes to the road, because, you know, that can work in a rural area where the capacity of the road is a lot lower than the design of the road. But in a city centre, which is always operating at capacity, if you add another lane, it just fills up with traffic again, mainly because the junctions are what causes the problems, not the number of lanes. So we know that's not the solution. So getting more people into other forms of transport is the only way out of this. So what we need to do is focus on making that work for people. You know, more park and ride, bringing the fares down, making sure they don't get cancelled at short notice, making sure people feel safe on them late at night. It is a matter of getting the poor people onto public transport, yes, but it's not simply a matter of saying, get onto public transport.
Your man Buckler from Good Morning Ulster, he was telling me last night that there are some areas where if you actually go further out of Northern Ireland into the south and then travel to areas in Northern Ireland, it's cheaper than starting off closer in Northern Ireland because of the subsidies that are provided by the Irish government. Should we be starting to think about pumping a lot more money into the subsidies to encourage people onto the public transport network?
Yeah, I mean, that would be great. I mean, we are in some ways comparing apples and pears because the Republic of Ireland is awash with cash at the minute, and we are not. And as one of your other contributors said, you know, we need money in schools and hospitals first and foremost. So things like transport are always going to come further down the pecking order than that. You know, we want nice things and we can't afford nice things, so we have to make hard decisions. And one of those hard decisions is recognising that we can't do everything we would like to do. That's not to say that we aren't spending money on silly things sometimes, you know, but we have to live within our means at the end of the day, and that's the real challenge for all the ministers.
But what's the point of having these new school buildings pumping money into other departments if people can't get there?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have a South West Acute Hospital, for example, but we still have a single lane windy road between it and Oma. You know, and it's still something that hasn't been fully upgraded. But, you know, yes, you need to have ways of getting to these places. Another example is the shared campus in Oma, for example, which is going to put all the schools on one site. But again, not really completely clear how everybody in the town is going to get to that. It is all joined together. Having said that, if you're going to subsidise buses or you're going to subsidise the health service, you know, I think most people would probably choose the latter. And that's, you know, it's a reality and it's a challenge.
Wesley, help me understand, and I know this is just one area, but it's so often talked about now, where they blocked off that left turn going on from Great Victoria Street, going on to the Grosvenor Road. And of course, the Grosvenor Road, it leads to the Royal Victoria Hospital. It leads to the M1 for all of those people. It leads to so many different routes. And they blocked, they stopped us turning left, didn't discuss it with us, just called it. We found out yesterday then from the Department of Infrastructure official, Mr. Woods, that the reason they did that was because there were passengers coming out of the new Grand Central Station, and they were worried about them spilling over the footpath onto the road.
Yes.
Should they have thought about that more before they opened the station? Or is it acceptable what they're saying?
It possibly could have been communicated a bit better, but I mean, the first thing to say on this is that the pedestrians and the car drivers are all equally valid users of that road. What seems to be happening is that there are so many pedestrians on that road that the footpath can't safely accommodate them all, and that's why they're switching some road space from cars to pedestrians.
So why did they spill so many pedestrians onto that area of footpath that cannot cope with the number of pedestrians?
Yeah, I suppose because that's the main route into the city centre from Grand Central Station. You know, it's something that...
But it's not, is it? Because it's to the right-hand side of the building. Why couldn't they push the pedestrians out the front?
Yeah, I mean, there's more than one exit from the place, I suppose, and people, I guess, are choosing which way they go themselves. You know, it is an important left turn. It is, as you say, the way to the West Link. So, you know, it has a significant knock-on effect. There may be other engineering solutions. I don't know if it's possible to install a pedestrian barrier, maybe over a greater length, if safety is the issue. It's a difficult call, that one. I think they're probably doing it because they didn't want to have a headline of someone getting run over at that spot, and you know,
sure,
then asking the question, why didn't you do something? You know,
Wesley, so, yeah. Have we got to radically rethink how we live our lives? Have we got to jump on board here? That we should be doing what Mr. O'Dowd's telling us to do. Park and ride, yeah. Abandon the car if we can. Work from home, yeah. A day a week if we can.
There's a sort of a tragedy of the commons situation here, in that if you or I made a decision to commute by bus, it would be a significant change to our lives, but it would really be a drop in the ocean on the roads because we're just one car. So, you know, it's a case where, you know, it has a big implication for us, but not much of an implication for the rest. But I, you know, transport planners know that the only solution to this is to get people out of their cars. But we have to be fair to motorists here. People are sensible. You know, we have to have a viable alternative, and that I think is where the challenge still lies. We haven't really cracked that nut, the viable alternative.
Okay, Wesley, thank you very much indeed. The economic journalist, the economist, Paul Gosling. Morning to you, Paul.
Morning, Stephen.
Look. I've tried to convey through the programming I'm doing the utter frustration that I know we're bombarded with people frustrated every day about this. And yet the reality that the minister cannot wave a magic wand here. But what impact is this having on our economy?
Well, it's massive, isn't it? But I mean, just to start with the fact that the taxi driver was on a few minutes ago. It's absolutely right that actually, and this points to DFI failure, Infrastructure Department failure here, the pedestrian signage to direct you to and from the Great Grand Central Station is really very poor, and that's part of the problem. And you interviewed Colin Woods yesterday, and he was talking about the fact that there weren't easy access to replacement parts for a traffic light. I don't understand why they had to hunt around to find spare parts for traffic lights. So this touches on the level of competence in infrastructure. And yes, you're absolutely right. All these things come together to damage the economy of Belfast city centre. But you can't get away from the fact that we need to have substantial investment in public transport. Because if you take the broader perspective, big cities, you can't commute into them. I would never drive into the centre of Dublin. I would never drive into the centre of London or Birmingham or Manchester. And we have to recognise that the level of jobs and economic activity in the centre of Belfast means basically we can't commute into the centre. And that's part of the reality.
But we could have done just a couple of years ago. So is it game over for that now?
Well, I wouldn't have done even a couple of years ago. I have to say, I mean, I have always found driving into the centre of Belfast to be a complete and utter pain. But yeah, I mean, I think this comes again down to the level of competence of the Department of Infrastructure. It's trying to do things, it's trying to do them not very well, not deliberately, just because basically it doesn't really seem to have the competence that you'd expect. Now, compare this with what's happened in the last few weeks in Dublin, where they've changed some of the traffic flows to increase the speed of buses in the city centre, and it's worked. They've made a couple of changes in the direction of traffic, and they've speeded up bus flows in Dublin. Now, why is it that transport managers in Dublin can do this, but traffic managers in Belfast can't? This comes down to competence.
Is that fair? Are you comparing apples with apples there?
I think you have to take the broad picture. We've got a crisis with Northern Ireland Water, which is part of infrastructure's responsibilities, because they haven't got the money to create new sewage infrastructure, and consequently we're not building things and we're not repairing things. You can't get gullies emptied. I've worked with an installment system, and trying to get gullies emptied, cleared, to prevent flooding is almost impossible. We had a real problem with the A5, which was down to the fact that an environmental impact assessment wasn't done. You take the whole piece, and infrastructure has been weak or failing on policy area after policy area in terms of implementation. There's a serious problem with that department.
I asked earlier, Paul, if TransLink is treating the public with contempt. And look, you know, I thought carefully before I asked that question. So we have spoken to sources within TransLink who have explained to us that they have a problem with their stock in terms of backup buses, backup vehicles. We know that they are telling people on a regular basis who are standing at bus stops and standing at train platforms that the service is cancelled after it was due to leave. So TransLink themselves know that that's meaning that people are late for work, that's meaning that people are missing hospital and dental appointments, and that's meaning that parents are panicking if they're using public transport to get to their child that's standing outside school waiting for mum or dad if they're relying on public transport. And with TransLink's knowledge of all of that, they're pumping out these ads pretending that it is a stress-free experience with them. They're telling people they can avoid getting stuck in traffic by using public transport. And they're using this ultimate wind-up line at the moment, and it's got to be a wind-up of some description by somebody, that they're telling people who are stranded in all of those ways that they're travelling in bliss. What are they doing? How much does that erode trust?
Well, it does, absolutely. They're trying to talk up the quality of their service when the service actually doesn't justify this. And you're quite right when you said a few minutes ago that this isn't just about this year, because I remember going on the 212 from Derry into Belfast some years ago, and it took half an hour just to get in the last bit of the journey in the city centre. So none of this stuff is completely new. We need more investment, and you can't get away from that. There needs to be more investment in basically the infrastructure that they're running. And yeah, it's going to create problems that so much money has gone into Grand Central Station that actually it means probably that they have less money available to buy new bus fleets.
Paul, thank you very much. Morning to you. TransLink in a statement. We frequently run advertising campaigns to highlight public transport provision and special fare offers to encourage modal shift, they say. They say we operate around 63,000 bus services each week across Ulster Bus, Goatliner, Metro and Glider services. We typically deal with a small percentage of cancellations. These can be for many reasons, including heavy traffic, road traffic accidents, weather conditions, mechanical issues. While Airport 300 services, this is when they cancelled about 14 services in the one day, have been impacted by storm damage to one of the vehicles last weekend, which is currently in repair, and services were additionally affected by an accident on the M2 yesterday, we continue to offer a high-frequency service throughout the day, and passengers are generally accommodated on the next service if there is an issue. Well, so what you're essentially saying there is, one vehicle went down, one accident on the M2, and you cancelled 14 services on people going to and from the airport, sometimes giving them just minutes' notice. Now, Stephen, you're a fan of the public transport network. It's important we get you on this morning. Good morning.
Hiya, Stephen. Hiya.
Go ahead.
Well, Stephen, look, I just want to make the point that there are good examples of public transport and cycling infrastructure. There's not enough. But, for example, the glider service. I'm fortunate to live in East Belfast. And the glider service is really... Now, the reason it's good is two things. It's got a continuous bus lane the whole way through from East Belfast to West Belfast. And there's buses every 8 to 10 minutes. And that means that the bus isn't caught up in the congestion of the cars. And the system works. Now, it is a bit expensive, but people are saying that car drivers won't make the switch. Well, actually, car drivers in East Belfast are making the switch, you know, and they're using it. I can understand if you're in the Craigie Road, the Ormer Road, the Antrim Road, it's just not the same system, but the glider does work pretty well. The other thing is I ride a bike as well, and the Riverside Path is really good, and it links you into town. It's traffic-free, and the Cumber Greenway is the same, but you need that continuous safe experience for the whole journey.
And the other thing is, the more of us that get on the public transport, then, and Minister O'Dowd made this point yesterday, then that's more money into the system, and maybe the better we can make it. So maybe we all need to make the jump and get on board, but we need to know what we're facing. We need to know what we're dealing with, rather than these ads that are just not telling us the reality. They're just not. It's not blissful.
I think it's fair, Stephen. I think where the system works, it can be a good service. I think blissful's maybe a wee bit too far, but the punter who's going to make the jump from the car onto the bike or the car into a bus needs to have a excellent system at a reasonable price. They need to feel safe and comfortable. I just wanted to point out there are two good examples, the glider and the Riverside.
Really important you've done so. Thank you, Stephen. Doug, taxi driver, morning.
Good morning, Stephen. Good morning. Listen, you talk about the...
You're on one of those dopey speaker phones. Come off it.
I can't. I've already told your colleague that I'm out walking the dogs at the moment.
Oh, you're out walking the dogs?
Right, okay. Yeah, because I'm not getting into work this morning because I can't afford to sit in the mess. But anyway, the point that I was going to make is if you're coming up Hard Street, you want to turn left to go to the Aruba Hotel, you no longer can. It is a bus lane. You can't turn left at that junction. And also, it's a 24-hour bus lane. And we don't have a 24-hour service. So that is adding to the mess at that junction.
Are you telling me in the heart of Belfast city centre, they've got a 24-hour bus lane and the buses don't run 24 hours in it?
Correct. Go and have a look, Stephen. Walk up to the corner of Hard Street.
Why would they do that?
Because there is no brains behind the operation. It's a matter of just getting it done. Don't get anybody killed while trying to cross the road and everybody else can suffer.
Well, they would take great exception to that. But they're dedicated civil servants working as hard as they can. But could someone justify a 24-hour bus lane when the buses don't run on it 24 hours?
Well, it's not the case even with... if it wasn't a 24-hour bus lane, if you're coming up there and you need to get the Aruba Hotel and you're coming from the east of the city, how are you going to do it? Your only option then is to turn left down Bedford Street, go the whole way up, straight through the Dublin Road, turn around on yourself on Shaftesbury Square and come back down again in the mess that they've created.
Do you know what? All we want to do is get on the bus, get on the train and have an honest, open assessment of how likely we are to get home. All we want to do for those people that have worked all their lives and have dared to buy a car is to understand what the best way is of getting home. That if we're in a car, is it likely to be congestion every time now? Is that what O'Dowd is telling us? I'll get there. Top to toe in tailbacks. Oh, I got. trying to wind us up in the Nolan Show behind the scenes here now too. Michael, morning, Michael.
Good morning, Stephen. I just wanted to comment on that no left turn at Grosvenor.
Yes.
I took a bus down from Dungannon on Saturday, and the bus was absolutely packed, and they're worried about pedestrians going out to Grosvenor. I think there was about 10 of us went out that exit at the bus station. The rest went the other way toward the Europa. So they're closing the whole road because they're worried about 10 people spilling out onto the road. The most ridiculous thing I've heard.
Well, that was your anecdotal experience of it. Frank in South Belfast. Morning, Frank.
Hello.
Go ahead, Frank.
You'd have thought the first junction they would have sorted out was the one at the bottom of the Grosvenor. They still have reserved the right turn for to go over the Brown Bridge, and they've had traffic lights stopping you going left. Whether you know, from the Durham Street round to College Square North. Do you know what I mean? If you go down from off the motorway, the traffic's backed up the Grosvenor Road.
What do you say to Minister O'Dowd this morning?
How are you doing, John? I mean, he's not going to sort it. It's the people on the ground. It's going to sort it. So it is. These people work independently. The minister sends letters and sends bits of paper out. But the people on the ground do it, so they do. So it's that guy you had on yesterday and a couple of other people.
Thank you, Frank. Pat's going to be our final call. Morning, Pat.
Morning, Stephen.
You've got 1 minute.
1 minute, Stephen. Paul Gosling said about the incompetence within that department. We've been telling you that for quite some time. 11th of October, they said we're going to let taxi drivers in the bus lanes. Haven't done that.
Well, he needs to get legislation through.
Right, so the left turn, the Grosvenor Road, and that left turn coming up from Hard Street, whoever designed that is totally wrong. I know you said they're reviewing it. They need to change it. They need to put it back. But you said a bit of partnership between the department and the people. A partnership isn't just one side. Nobody's been consulted about anything that they've done here. You know, the motorist hasn't been consulted. The Chamber of Commerce, anybody who works in Belfast. I listened yesterday to Colin Wood saying, take a day off. Stephen, we're trying to get people back in the city centre.
Okay.
We're trying to get people to come into work.
Pat, thank you very much. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you in the morning.